Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for our weekly conversation with SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster, and he's joining us now from inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Black Hills studio. Hey, Kevin, welcome.
It's great to be back. You should know that Paul and I, the man who makes this happen for me, are wearing almost the exact same shirt today, color and pattern.
Isn't that lovely?
We didn't coordinate it. That's just how simpatico we are.
Thanks to SDPB's Paul Shocko for his engineering help and his fashion sense today.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Let's start out with, because you have a new blog post about Governor Kristi Noem and her partnership with an alcohol and drug treatment facility. But I want to start with what we talked about last week, which was the Rapid City school bond issue, which failed at the polls this week. And Rapid City voters in the snow came out to say no, to vote no. Well, in fairness, there was, 57%?
Something,
56% voted yes, but that was not enough. It's a high threshold to hit. What do you know from what you saw during Election Day about the, for insight into how people are thinking about that school bond issue?
Well, I thought that the, and you can argue this either way, but I thought the bad weather was probably not a good thing for the school bond issue, because I assume that the higher the turnout, the more you get into the people that aren't powerfully committed, especially the no people who are very driven and very committed. And obviously there were a lot of yes people that were very, very driven too. But when you have the turnout that I think was 23% maybe, which is not horrible, you can get worse than that. But you wonder what it would have been at 33% or 40% or anything like that.
You know, Mike Card said yesterday, as a political scientist, usually the weather helps the vote. Yes, the traditional expectation would be, a little bit of snow, because the more motivated people would come out, and that in this case, we would have maybe guessed that would have been the yes people, but that's not the case. Yeah,
I don't think anybody's as motivated as the no people. I never believe that, and I'm sure he probably has actually something to base that his feelings on, unlike me, or just flying by the seat of my pants. But there's such a strong, committed no contingent in Rapid City.
That's the difference, yeah.
And
it's
a strong group. And I think that, to me, the people that you need are the ones that support it. They really think it's a good idea, but they're not exactly driven. And the complications we had during Election Day, my assumption is that wasn't good. And they're talking about whether it was a good idea to have it in February.
Right.
And they're talking about whether it would be better with a primary or even a general election to and you certainly would get a more representative sample of the community in those elections,
right.
I think.
Yeah, more people will be out.
Yeah.
What's driving that motivated no taxes, group of people? What, is this just in general, I'm going to vote no on anything that looks like it's going to increase taxes?
I would have to see a bond issue that they'd support. I mean, they say they would, and this is not a condemnation of them, because I think they're powerfully committed to holding down taxes and limiting the scope of government and the influence of government. And, they talked like this wasn't the right one. I'd love to see them present the right one, because I can't imagine there is one out there for them. But I could be wrong.
Talk a little bit about Mayor Steve Allender and what this means for his leadership, because he's, certainly with the Barnett Arena, and, he was very for this, wanted it to be part of the vote yes. What does his political leadership look like in Rapid City right now?
Well, it would have been a much bigger loss for him if the Civic Center issue had failed, because he really poured himself into that. And if there was one person that was responsible for that passing, it would have been Mayor Allender. He was very supportive of this, and they had a beautiful, and I think the yes people would say sad, picture of his face in the journal watching the results come in when they won but lost, because you need a super majority. And I don't know how that's going to affect him. I think probably the next step is a big deal. There's been some talk about could they turn it around and have an election in the primary, get it on the primary? Would they try for another run at it? Would they downsize it? And how much would they? And I imagine he'll be involved in that, because he's not afraid to take these issues on, whether you like him or not as a mayor. You know where he stands on these things.
Yeah. Is the threshold too high? Is 60% too high to pass a bond issue?
Pretty high, considering some of the things you can do and build with less than that. And it certainly is minority rules. The other side would argue it's a big deal. It's a big commitment.
Right. And that was the that was the statement that was made in the Rapid City Journal. I think Val Simpson made it, which was, you know, if this was for a prison, it would have passed because the threshold was lower.
Yeah, which is nonsensical, of course, when you think about it. But that's where we are.
Right. I want to transfer a little bit to talk about this blog post that you wrote and the story that you're telling about the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and a partnership with Governor Kristi Noem regarding drug and alcohol treatment. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and when this came out last summer, I thought it was a pretty big deal, and I was surprised that it didn't seem to get as much press coverage as I thought it might, and that included by me, and it took me a while to get around to doing something on it. But Kristi Noem, when she ran for governor, when she was elected governor, she said a couple of times, "I'm hoping a tribe will take a chance on me." And you know, there's a lot of suspicion on anybody a Republican governor coming in, and this seems to me like a great way for a tribe to take a chance on a governor, a governor that's interested in working with tribes. Because it's an area of common ground, and it seems to me like one of the ways we've failed over the years as a state in working with the tribes is not working hard enough to find areas that we could agree on, which makes it easier for us to disagree without so much rancor and without so much division if we're cooperating in other areas. So the partnership just helps them through the state with funding, important funding. You know, first year $600,000-$700,000 in a braided mix of federal and block grants and state money that will help the tribe in this already very important, very successful treatment program down in Rosebud. It'll help them take that to a higher level, a more intensive level, and a level that with meth is really essential if people are going to recover from that horrible addiction.
How does the partnership work?
They provide the money, and the state does.
Yeah.
The Rosebud Tribe is really set up. They've got a great treatment center that's close to the hospital down there. They've got a system down there with doctors that are working with top flight Harvard, Massachusetts General doctors on improving the healthcare there, who are also looking at this treatment program, which has a great spiritual component in it, which Noem thought was very important. You know, she's a spiritual, a religious woman, and believes in that as part of life, and it's really just them, fairly simple. We can make an agreement. They had to reach some things on how conflicts would be settled and how disagreements would be handled, but they stayed with that. Kristi Noem went down there. She met with them. They convinced them that she was sincere. Rodney Bordeaux, the tribal president, was willing to work with her. Lloyd Guy, the attorney general, said it's a possibility that this could open up other areas of agreements and not just this one, which is on its own is just very important. And it's a win-win. I hate to say that kind of stuff for both the state and the tribes, but especially for the people that need that treatment, which is often long-term. A year or more that you have to stay with folks to try and help them come back to life and come back to their lives.
So Governor Kristi Noem, both with the meth campaign and with tribal relations, has had some wins and losses already in her short time as governor. Mm-hmm. How does she overcome some of, the meth campaign was criticized because of the marketing message and because they went to an out-of-state, sort of marketing, they chose an out-of-state organization.
Sure.
What she said from the beginning was that this is the we're on it, portion of this was this idea that this is all of our responsibilities and we do have to work together. Are we now seeing what she meant by the meth we're on it idea in the sense that this is a collaborative effort? This is something that all citizens and tribes and individuals and, governments and sovereign nations, we all have to be on this problem together. Are we seeing what the intention was now play out?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I still haven't really warmed up to the idea of the actual way it was presented, but her argument is it attracted a lot of attention, even spoof, even criticism. It's all attention and gets people talking about meth. And I suppose it's hard to argue with that. I think maybe it could have been handled better, but it drew attention to it. And again, as I point out in the blog, at the time all this fuss was going on, they had quietly implemented this Rosebud deal and were moving ahead with it. And to me, that's that's the thing that they've managed to do is avoid controversy with that, to get it done and maybe set up something else, which does not mean that it's all over. The conflicts are over because, for example, I had a picture that I was going to use with my blog piece that had Noam at the treatment center with some Native folks, some local tribal members, and they weren't comfortable with that because they were afraid it would think they would show people or imply to people that they endorsed everything Noam was doing, and including the very controversial riot boosting or inspiring to riot or whatever the new language is in that. And I didn't use that picture because of that. So it just shows you that there's still some tension there, there's still some friction there, and there's still a lot of things to work out. But to me, this could become an extraordinarily important step in the way the state reacts to the tribes and the way the tribes react to the state.
But that's interesting when, you know, we don't even want to be photographed together. That also is an indication of how deep, how big the challenge really is to move forward, and how quickly you can make a misstep that is pretty damaging.
Oh, that's the thing.
Yeah.
One word, one sentence, one move, one slight, because there's been so many of them over the years.
Right.
And there's so many wounds and so many yet to heal and to deal with that it's a complicated process. And I admire her for taking it on in this way.
Yeah. What's a good next step? I know she also came out in favor of the Ochechi Shakwin school mm-hmm. programs, and Ben Jones, the Secretary of Education for the state, has been positive about that. What are some of the other ways that she can just get some wins, build some trust?
Yeah. That's, to me, that was a perfect example of apparently she had some reservations about that, and they worked them out somehow that she could come and support that. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that and find these areas, and I think they should just be really aggressive and relentless about searching for these areas and being open to these kinds of discussions, then you can work your way towards some of these more difficult and what we've seen now is unsolvable challenges.
Right. In our remaining minutes here, I think we should talk about dinner with Kevin Wooster, because apparently
yeah.
that's a hot ticket.
Who does not want that?
tell me the story.
Don't want it. but thank goodness,
for a good
somebody
cause.
Does.
Dinner for a good cause.
Yes.
Tell us that story.
Well, Wellfully is a wonderful program here in Rapid City. It's a residential treatment center for kids with adolescents with substance abuse problems. And it's been around for a long time. It does great work, and this is their annual fundraiser. And somebody that works for them asked me if I would get involved, because I joked online, because my brother Jim at the Sioux Empire stock show down at Sioux Falls, they auctioned off a dinner with him for $2,100. So I joked about whether I could match that, knowing that I couldn't, but brought that up, and somebody from Wellfleet said, "Hey, let's give it a shot," and I. And I was hoping for $200, and we had that. I put it up on my Facebook page, and away we went. But it's not just with me. That's the benefit. It's with my wife, Mary, and with MJ Adams from MJ's Corn Exchange Cookbook. She's going to provide some dessert maybe and stop by, and Mary's going to cook, I think, quail out of MJ's book at our house out on the deck. And, well, Johnny Brocklesby jumped in to the bidding with $400 and then got antsy and couldn't stand it and doubled his own bid. So... So I'm looking pretty good with an $800 bid. Thank you, Johnny B.
And all for a good cause. And remind us one more time, you know, what this organization does and how it helps people.
It's such a great cause. And these kids, Marshall Young, Al Scoville, and Steve Manlove, I don't know if it was 25 years ago or so, got this thing started. And it's been rolling. And it changes people's lives. And that's what tonight's all about.
All right. Having a little generosity and some good food with MJ Adams,
yeah.
Who does a lot of Saver Dakota stuff for South Dakota Public Broadcasting as well. Kevin, thank you so much for being here with us. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. See ya.